Thank you. Lord, I need you now more than ever. Would you put?
Statement of faith. I believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That his church is still alive and well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you guys remember the scripture? All right, so I need you guys to pretend. I know you guys can pretend, right? Adults, can you pretend with me too? I need you to pretend that we are deep in the forest. We're deep in the forest. This campsite's not here. We're deep in the woods, and we need to find our way back to camp. Imagine you're there. There's the mountains and the stream and all of that, and you've got to find your way back to camp. Now, Sister Judish mentioned one of these. How would you find your way back? Just call it out. Say it. What do you think? Jesus? Well, yes, if you're really lost in the woods, I want you to call on God, but we also have some real tools to help us, right? Well, William said it. Yes, Jasmine. What can we do to find our way back? Yes, a trail, right? A map would guide us. And she talked about that, and when, you know, we're going and we need directions. When we need directions, we go to a map, right? There's just one problem. I know where I'm supposed to be on the map, but I don't know where I am on the map, right? What other tool can you think of that might help me to know where I am? No cell phone service. No phones, no GPS, no cell phone service. What other tool? Can you guys think of something? Yes, besides Jesus, William? A compass. Awesome. Yes, that's very good. A compass. If you don't know what a compass, it shows the directions, and it always points north. A compass, it never lies, it never changes, it always tells the truth because it always points north. But let's just say, just for a second, let's try to do this on our own. Just give me, by signaling with your fingers, tell me, which way do you think I should go? Which way should I go? That way? Which way do you think is north? Point which way you think is north. Anybody? Could go this way. I don't know. This way, everybody's pointing different directions. I don't know. It's kind of hard on our own, right? Especially we're lost in the woods. Which way to know is north? I mean, maybe you might be able to look at the sun and possibly tell, but if we follow our own sense of direction, our own thoughts, our own understanding, we're probably going to get even more lost or stay lost, right? But if we pull out our compass, it will tell us exactly which way to go. Proverbs 3:5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Jesus is our compass. And just like this compass points north, Jesus will always point us to the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And so Jesus will always point us in the right direction. Now, I need a volunteer. Okay, William. Thought I'd get more hands on that one. Okay. All right, so come over here. Come right here for this aisle way. Okay, so stand facing that way. That way is north, mostly. I just want to get him to the aisle. Now, keep heading north until I say stop, okay? All right, go. Take some steps. All right, stop. Now, turn towards me. Now, keep walking north. I didn't get you. Okay, stop. Turn that way. Keep walking north. Good job. All right, you can go back to your seat. Everyone clap your hands for William. So it doesn't matter which way that we're facing. North is always north, right? And so God will always point us in the right direction because he is our true north. And there were some people in the Bible who followed God's compass. If they had followed their own sense of direction, I have a feeling the story would have ended much differently. So we talked about one of them, the Red Sea, Moses and the children of Israel, right? Do you guys remember Pharaoh in the Bible and the plagues? So the children of Israel, they were slaves. All these plagues happened, and so they left. But they had a problem, right? On their journey, on their path, they got stuck. Egypt was following behind them. They had the Red Sea in front of them. They had the mountains on the side of them. What were they going to do? They followed Jesus. They followed their compass, their true north. And God parted the seas and made a way for them, made a path for them. Does anybody raise your hand if you know the story of Abraham and Isaac, when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac on the altar? Do you guys remember that story? See, Abraham followed his compass, right? He listened to the voice of God. And you know what? What appeared in the bushes? Does anybody know what appeared in the bushes? Oh, yeah. A ram. Again, it didn't look like there was any way out of that situation. But God made a way and provided a ram. Now, raise your hand if you know the story of the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Does that sound familiar? Now, they followed their compass. They followed God. They listened. They refused to bow down to other gods. And you know what? Where that path led them? Right into a fiery furnace. But we know that they did not get burned because Jesus was there with them, because they followed him and they followed their true north. And of course, anybody heard Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel in the lion's den? Now listen, we're in the woods. There's paths, maybe a trail, we'll see. But in a den, in a cave, there's nowhere to go, right? And so Daniel was in that lion's den, and he trusted God. And even though there was no path out, right? To our sense of direction, there would be no way out. But God shut the mouths of those lions, and they came that next morning and saw, and they knew that God was real, and they let him out. So when we follow Jesus, he will always lead us in the right direction. Because the Bible says that there are two paths. Hold up two fingers. The Bible says that there are two paths. There's a narrow path that leads to God and leads to heaven and leads to beautiful, wonderful things in God. But there's also this big, wide path that leads to destruction. And if we want to stay on the narrow path, then we've got to make sure that we have our compass. We've got to make sure that we're on the right path and that we're following in the right direction. And Proverbs 4:25, it says, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." What that's saying is just saying, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on God and the path that he has for your life. You don't need to look to the right or to the left, because when we do that, we could be like, oh, that's a pretty flower, and we're following it, or we're following a bird and everything looks nice, but next thing you know, we're off the path. We're lost. So the Bible says, don't look this way or don't look that way. Just keep looking ahead. Just keep that compass pointing north and follow the path that God has for you. Now, I want to tell you a little story here real quick about my friends Ben and Emily, my young friends Ben and Emily. It was a sunny Saturday morning when Emily and her big brother Ben decided to go exploring in the woods behind Grandma's house. Now, here in Port St. Lucie, I don't know if there's woods behind any of you guys' houses, but they were at Grandma's house, and they wanted to go exploring. So they packed snacks, a water bottle, and Ben's favorite compass. At first, the trail was easy to follow. They were laughing, and they played I Spy, and they collected pretty leaves. I know some of you girls like to collect maybe pretty seashells or leaves or things like that. And at first, it was easy to follow, but after a while, Emily looked around and realized something. Nothing looks familiar. "Ben, I think we're lost," she said. And Ben frowned, and he pulled the compass out of his pocket, and he said, "Don't worry. You see this needle? It always points north. If we follow it, we'll find the road and get home." So they started walking in the direction the compass pointed. Even when the path twisted, even when the wind was blowing, Ben kept his eye on the little arrow. And sure enough, before long, they came out of the woods right at Grandma's backyard. And Grandma smiled and said, "I'm glad you had your compass. That compass showed you the way home." Ben smiled and he said, "Yeah, just like Jesus shows us the way." And Emily thought for a moment, "Oh, so Jesus is our true north?" "That's right," said Grandma. "He's always pointing us in the right direction, no matter where we are." And just like Ben and Emily trusted the compass, we can trust Jesus to guide us, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And after service, once we're done here, we're going to go back, and you guys are going to have a goodie bag, but attached to it, I have a compass for each and every one of you today. So I just want to encourage you, take this compass, put it in your backpack, put it in your locker when you get to school or on your nightstand or someplace where you can have a constant reminder that Jesus is the way, and that you don't need to look to the left or the right. You don't need to look at the latest trend or fashion or anything like that. You just stay on the path that God has chosen for you. And although we don't, you know, I have these physical compass here for you, but we're talking about how Jesus is our compass, right? Well, we don't have a physical man, Jesus, right here to tell us, right, follow me, go this way, don't go that way, right? So how can we make sure that we have Jesus or our compass everywhere that we go? How can we have Jesus in our heart? Rebecca? Pray? Yeah. Absolutely. We have God's word, like Sister Judah said, the Bible, right? And those words are true. But how can we know that Jesus is in our heart and he's with us everywhere that we go? The Bible says that we are a temple and that Jesus lives inside of us when we do this. William? Yes, when we have the Holy Ghost, when God's Spirit comes inside of us, we know that our compass, that Jesus is always there. And so, raise your hand if you have the Holy Ghost. Everybody, raise your hand if you have the Holy Ghost. Nice and high, you're proud, you got the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. All right, that is amazing. That's one of the best experiences that you'll ever have in your life. And you know what? I have really, really, really good news for those of you that didn't raise your hand. You can get it today. And we're going to take time and we're going to pray. And I believe that God is going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. But you know what? There might be some people in here where you have the Holy Ghost, but maybe it's been a little while. Maybe you haven't spoken in tongues since you went to camp this summer. Or maybe it's been a year or 2 years or a long time. Well, imagine you're going on a hike. Just like Ben and Emily, you're going to go exploring. Well, imagine if they were about to walk into those woods. You're about to go on this hike, and you look, and you say, okay, this way's north. I got it. And then you put your compass in your pocket, and you start walking, and you never look at it again. Do you think that maybe you might go off a little bit, right? Because you're using your own sense of direction. So we can't just have, it's not just a one-time experience. God doesn't just fill us with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and that's just that one time for your whole life. We get to pray to him every day. We can receive the Holy Ghost. We can speak in tongues every service, every chance we get when we're at home and we're praying in our prayer closet or corner or whatever it is. And so we can have that experience, and we can have it over and over again. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." When we stay on God's path, and when we follow after him, and when we receive the Holy Ghost, there is joy, and there's pleasures forevermore. And so if we could stand, I want everybody to stand with me, everybody in the building. If you're able, I want you to stand. Now, whether you have the Holy Ghost or you don't have the Holy Ghost, we're going to do something. We're going to do it all together. We're going to pray that we would receive the Holy Ghost because we want God's Spirit to live inside of us. And so you could have spoken in tongues this morning or never before in your life. We're all going to do it together, okay? And here's the thing. There's no perfect words that you have to say. There's not some prayer that you have to recite word for word, girls. Okay? It's not a test. You don't have to be scared or feel pressure about it, right? The Bible says that it's a gift. God wants to live inside of you. He wants to fill your heart. Hallelujah. And he wants to be that compass. He wants to lead you and guide you and be your true north. So today, the Bible says that in order for God to fill us with his Spirit, we just got to do one thing. And it's so easy. All we have to do is repent and humble our heart. What does it mean to repent? I know my Sunday school kids know this. Tell me, what does it mean to repent? Out loud. Shout it out. We just talked about this. Come on, what does it mean to repent? Yeah. You're saying sorry. It means that we're on this path here, but this is not the right path. And we're sorry because we've done some bad things on this path, but it's like, oh, wait. God, I'm going to get out my compass, and I'm going to look and you want me to go this way. I'm going to go this way because this is the way that you want me to go. That's what we're doing. We're just changing paths. We're correcting our course. We looked and we realized, uh-oh, we've gotten off a little bit. We went a little northeast instead of straight north. And so we're going to just take a few minutes to repent and say sorry to God and just say, God, I'm sorry for anything I've done, thought, said, my attitude, anything that's not pleasing to God. because you know what? God wants to fill our heart, so we just kind of got to empty it first, right? We got to empty it and just give everything to God and just say, Lord, I am yours, and I want you to fill me with your spirit. And so we're going to pray, and I want everybody in this whole place to do this with us. We're going to take a couple minutes. We're going to repent. We're going to say sorry to God, and then something beautiful happens. God fills you with his spirit. It's a gift. We don't have to beg for it, right? Anything like that. And so we're going to all, let's all come down. All the kids, you guys come to the front. And then I want you adults to come in behind them. Let's support our kids. Come in behind them. And we're all going to repent together. And then as we're praying, we're going to play a song. And we're just going to begin to pray. But I want to encourage you, listen, there's something that's really important. Like I said, there's no perfect words, right? There's not a certain scripture that we have to read, a certain prayer that we have to pray, but it does need to be genuine. It does need to be sincere, and it does need to come from our heart because God knows our heart, right? He knows our every thought. And so all it takes is for us to just be sincere and be genuine and just say, God, I want to follow you. I want to follow the path that you have for me because I know that in that path there is joy and in that path there are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. And that Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, are you guys ready? All right, let's go ahead and we're going to repent. We're just going to say sorry to God all together, all the adults, everybody with me. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you, God, so much for this opportunity